Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
We're going to be talking today about living from a spirit of faith instead of a spirit of fear. I don't know if you guys heard about it this last week, but there was a pretty big downturn in the economy. Anybody heard about that? And stock market went way down and people started freaking out, but not us. We trust in the Lord. We know, and we learned in 2006 and 7 at Faith Church, we said that it is against our religion to participate in economic downturn, recession, or depression. And I'm here to tell you today that it works. And more than ever, some people at our church have discovered concepts from God that have eradicated fear and brought great faith to their life. Here's just one story. There's a guy who helped us build our campuses here in St. Louis, and he started a company in West Palm Beach, Florida. And he started praying in Isaiah where it says, God, you will send our sons and daughters from afar. He said, God, I'm here to reestablish a new organization, sold that last organization. And God began to speak to him. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. Isn't that right? And he said, God, I just release my faith, and I release those words that all the right staff is coming to me, and I'm going to build this new company, and the new company is going to be primarily to fund the gospel of Jesus Christ, to dig wells in foreign lands, and to do great things. And sure as the Lord promised, all of a sudden, guys and gals from across the world, talking about the smartest minds of Asia, begin to call and come and move to West Palm Beach. And about 2 years ago, the Lord gave me a word as this pastor. And I said, Dennis, God is going to tell you what to buy, when to buy it, and what to sell, and when to sell it. And he said, well, if you could figure that out, you'd be rich. And I said, well, the Holy Spirit is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He began to stand upon that word. He wrote that prophecy down. And him and this group of guys, they invented this new technology. It's the same technology that your smartphone uses, Apple, when you talk to Siri. Anybody ever ask Siri stupid questions? Well, that voice pattern technology they invented, and it could recognize the ups and the downs in the economy. So they knew what to buy, when to buy, and what to sell, and when to sell it. So this last week, when the economy took a downturn, the machine that they invented kicked in, the technology, and their stocks went up 150%. Somebody ought to give God praise today, for God is with the righteous. Everybody shout, God is with the righteous. Isaiah 41:10. Maybe you're new here. How many of y'all raise your hand and you've been here less than 2 years at Faith Church? Raise your hand real high. Look at that. Look around the room right now. That's unbelievable. Where were you? So we want to help get you up to speed. The cool thing about Faith Church is if you're new, we're going to come back around. It's like, man, I feel like I'm in the middle of the movie. If you just stay, we'll replay it again and we'll get you caught back up so you can stand strong, so that you can live fearless, bold lives and basically live out your purpose. Here we are, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around in terror and dismay, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand. I love it. He says, my victorious right hand. I like where he says, there is nothing to fear. And I love when he says, I will harden you to difficulties. See, harden yourself to difficulties is something that happens in life oftentimes to people, and they turn out bad because they're hardened. But it's not the hard heart that says, I'm not an optimist anymore. It's the kind of hardened to difficulties that says, no matter what I go through, I know I'm going to go through. For the Lord is with me. He's on me. He strengthens me. I'm equipped. I'm qualified. I'm living a divine flow. God's anointing is upon my life. And so I'm hardened to difficulties. Now, whether you're going through a financial setback or maybe you're like me years ago, I found myself divorced, major setback after being married for over 8 years, always wanted kids, should have a kid probably 7, 8 years old by now, thought if it was going to happen, it should happen by now. And I went down through a valley of depression. I thought, well, man, I'm just going to eat myself through this. I'm going to, you know, some people drink themselves through it. People have different ways of functioning. And I picked up a lot of weight and was very depressed. But then one day I had a state change. I said, if I can change the way I think, I can change the way I live. And if I don't lose my mind, I can get my stuff back. And I believe that I'm going to live my happy days and blessed days again. And I met this girl 18 years ago, Nicole, and she had a boy already, and he was 7. And my life began to come into a new level of anointing that I never thought possible. See, God hardened me to difficulties. He turned the bad situation around for my good. I never had to change a diaper. I never went through the terrible twos. Come on, somebody. And now he's a campus pastor serving God. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. I wish somebody would help me preach today. I said, God will harden you to difficulties. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be okay. Verse 13 says, for the Lord your God will uphold you with his right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, fear not. There it is again. I will help you. Verse 15, behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument which has teeth, and you will thresh the mountains and beat them down, and small they will be like chaff. I will make your mouth a sharp threshing instrument. You got to be careful what you say because you have what you say. Some people say, I don't believe in that. My life sucks. It's horrible. There's bad things to happen. It's always going to happen to me. It's working for you. It's working in reverse. You need to change what you say and say, if the economy goes down, I'm going up. Proverbs promised me, Proverbs 13:22, that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. One translation says the wealth of the sinner eventually finds its way into the hands of the righteous. It didn't say you'd be righteous. It didn't say that you'd feel righteous. The Bible said that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and now you're not operating from a position of fear, but you're operating from a position of faith, and you're saying, I don't care what I feel like. I decree and declare that my best days and blessed days are out ahead of me, and we will not only survive hard times, we will thrive in hard times. Can I get an amen on that today? Because God will harden you to difficulties and he will make your mouth a sharp threshing instrument. Each and every day I get up and I say stuff that I don't feel like saying. I say things that I technically don't even believe. I say stuff like, I'm more than a conqueror. I will always look, act, and feel 20 years younger than I am. I'm at my right weight. I love to exercise. I hate drinking soda and eating processed foods. I love eating just a little bit of food. These are all lies, y'all. I love eating just a little bit of food. I don't eat to live. I don't live to eat. I eat to live. I like to eat organic food. God, I thank you, Lord, that my body does not produce growths and tumors, and I don't have any of the diseases associated with old age. Would you believe this, though? Over the years, I'm in better shape now than I've ever been in my life. I feel better now than I've ever felt, and I believe it's this sharp threshing instrument that we have. Somebody ought to give God praise today. You eat good by the fruit of your lips. You have not because you ask not. We got to start paving our world with our words. We got to say, hey, I'm more than a conqueror. And what's very important is that you're around the right people. You've heard me say this before. Show me your friends and I'll... Maybe you're new here. Show your future. Let's try that again. Show me your friends and I'll... What would it be like if you were raised in this kind of environment? Wonder what it would be. Would you be just a statistic? Or would you be a super achiever? I wonder what you would look like. There's a little guy at our church. His name's Jalen. And this last week, I was quite amazed to see him with T.D. Jakes. He's always here. He usually sits over here on the left side. And his grandfather, he didn't even come to church here. But Jalen was a bright little mind. He was 13 years old and 14 years old. Grandpa, take me to church. I go to faith church. 15 years old, take me to church. And one day he called me at the office and said, hey, my name is Jalen and I'm starting these companies and I've got a big dream for my life. And, you know, in the natural, it doesn't look like I would succeed. And I can't even drive to meet you for lunch. But is there any way that I can meet you for lunch? I'll have my granddad bring me. And just out of, you know, curiosity or whatever, I just showed up down near our office and I met that guy. And that guy began to tell me about his dream. And I began to realize right away that Jalen took on the characteristics of the church. I realized that he believed that everything that I said was the truth and that God could do something good in Jalen's life. This week, like a proud dad, I watched him. And just like a proud dad, you're going to have to take 1 minute of your life, whether you like it or not, and you're going to watch my son here 1 minute. Check this out. This is this week.
Meet Jalen. 4 years ago, at the ripe old age of 13, this high school student started his own tech company specializing in web designs and other IT services. And today, at the age of 17, he has expanded his company into a worldwide business. Welcome.
And for me, I learned at a young age the difference between an active dreamer and a lazy dreamer. See, At a young age, I was given a dream by God. We're all given a dream. Mm-hmm. And for me, I took that dream and acted on it to get it. The difference between me and other people, they take a dream that God's given them and wait for him to make it a reality while they watch back and sit.
I love this kid. I love this kid.
Once I set my destination, mm-hmm. like a GPS, I calculate it. Mm-hmm. And no matter how many times I messed up or fail, I recalculate. Mm-hmm. I reroute.
Mm-hmm. This is my child right here. I don't think I ever interviewed anybody who left me speechless. So, you seen somebody? Because I got a grandchild. You're a little bit young for the daughter thing, but I got a grandchild.
Come on, come here, Jalen. Jake's isn't going to take my boy. This is my son. I'll fight him all the way to Dallas. We're proud of you. Come on, give it up one more time for Jalen. When you raise your kids in a godly environment, it'll change their destiny. I can't beg you enough tonight to be there. Jalen will be there. He was at church last night. In fact, last night I saw him go into his car on his little skateboard thing, and I said, man, look at him. I looked at Chris, and I said, Nicole, isn't it great? And he's not out clubbing. He's not out partying. He's a working boy that's going to do great things for God. Get your kids to church tonight for the back-to-school blessing. How many of y'all want your kids to be blessed, favored, protected, change the world? We have a purpose. We have a job to do. What God started here at Faith Church, he's going to finish, and he's going to finish it through this next generation, because this city has been torn apart lately in this America somewhat by racism. But our church will never, ever see color. Our church sees a quality of people who have a dream, who love God, and have a purpose, and that's what we're fighting for. Come on, give God praise today. And now I can't see. Isaiah 43. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, everybody shout, I'm passing through. I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, notice it doesn't say that you're not going to have a hard time. It says when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Doesn't that sound like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They went through the fire, but God was with them. Just don't get overwhelmed in the fire. Begin to decree and declare out of your mouth that God works all things together for my good. And what didn't kill me makes me stronger. This test is going to be a testimony. The setback is going to be a comeback. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm an overcomer. I'm equipped. I'm qualified. Come on, somebody. I'm a success going somewhere to happen. And just because the world is in trouble doesn't mean that word people are going to be in trouble. See, there's a difference between the world and the church. When I was a little kid, my little brother, Jamie, he got a lot more spankings than I did. I needed more spankings. And why are you guys being mean to me like that? I mean, look. But I didn't get as many. He got them a lot. But I wasn't depressed when he got whipped. He was getting whipped all the time. If I'd have been depressed when he got whipped, I'd be depressed all the time. I wasn't in trouble just because he was in trouble. On the way here, we were driving and a police officer pulled somebody over. And we always love it when that happens because then we know we're free to go on our merry way. Isn't that right? That guy was in trouble, but we weren't in trouble. The world is in trouble. They're doing things that are diabolically against God and the things of God. But just because they're getting a spanking and there's lice over here, there's going to be freedom over here. If there's frogs, and you know you've read the Old Covenant, all the curse and the pestilence would be on this side of the road. But the Bible said that no plague would come nigh our dwelling. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. Somebody ought to help me today. You're protected, you're loved, and you're going to pass through the fires and you will not be overwhelmed. So the best thing you can do is just trust God. Just trust him with your future. Trust him with your children. Trust him with your resources. Trust him with your retirement. Trust God. He is well able to do what he said he's going to do. And he's been proving that since he's dropping manna out of the sky, getting water out of the rock, splitting Red Seas, getting coins out of fish's mouth, healing blind Bartimaeus, the woman with the issue of blood. I'm talking about this God is large and in charge, and he can take care of you. He just wants you to trust him. And he wants you to love him. There's nothing really any worse, I think, than loving somebody more than they love you. We've all had that feeling. Anybody ever had that feeling in here? You're like, I really love them, but I don't think they love me that way. God deserves our love. One of the ways we show our love is by coming to the house of God. I see it more than ever in America. And I even see it in our church, where people pencil God in. And the more they get blessed, the more they pencil God in. Oh, I've got a lake house. Oh, I have horses. Oh, I have a yacht. I have this. Listen, those things will never make you happy. And it's nice if you have those things, but it's a terrible curse if those things have you. Because if your children aren't raised in the admonition of the Lord, they lose their way. And they will not have the kind of fear of the Lord that you need in your life and you want them to have. So I'm begging you, you do not pencil God in. You say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And someday you'll be glad you did. Come on, somebody. And the one day is going to be when Jesus splits the eastern sky. If you shacked up doing the wrong thing, come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Or you're watching online because you're lazy. It's okay to watch online if you're out of town. It's okay to watch online if you're a long way from church. But if you watched online today because of convenience, shame on you. The Bible said that we should gather together in the house of God. Somebody ought to help me. I'm just telling you the fact. I'm just telling you what ticks God off. Just saying. How many of y'all married in here? Raise your hand. How many of y'all have some kids and some of your kids do some stupid stuff to the spouse and you look and go, oh, you're going the wrong way with mama right now. Come on, raise your hand. Or you're going the wrong way with daddy right now. It's not going to work. That happens. My daughter, I didn't plan on telling the story, but it fits right here. She's 11 and this morning she woke up hormonal with an attitude. And I bought her a little puppy and I'm ashamed to tell you how much money I paid for the puppy, but it's a lot of money for the puppy. My dad probably rolled off her in his grave. But I bought it because I love this kid. But the kid is spoiled. There's no doubt about it. I waited too long to have my own child. I was old enough to find a retirement center for me and a little kitty care for her. It's not a good mix. This morning I looked over her and I said, give me a hug. And she just gave me an attitude and turned away. And then when I kind of pulled her to me, I just brushed her nose. It was just a brush. And she said, like, you hurt my nose. And I said, oh, you hurt my nose. I walked away, I took a shower, and when my driver came to get me to take me to all these sessions today, I left her. She likes to go to church early. She loves church. Guess what? I didn't say I was going. I was just gone. Then my phone rang, and I looked, and there it is. There's Ashton Crank, and I thought, do I pick it up or not? So in a couple minutes, after she tried and tried, I picked it up. Where'd you go? Why'd you leave me? I said, I don't want to be around that kind of behavior. I left you. Find your own ride to church. I know that's kind of hard and harsh, but I'm telling you that her attitude changed. Come on. She wanted dad to come back. Dad, send somebody back. Dad, I'm sorry. Sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. Here at Faith Church, I'm telling you, there's going to be a day that you don't want God walking out on you. Come on, somebody. You want God to be there. You don't want him leaving you. You don't want him forsaking you. You want to sow into your future by obeying God in the good times and the bad times, because here's what my dad told me. Someday, you're going to need God. I don't know when that day is going to be, David, but you're going to need him. So serve him to the best of your ability and use your life to help as many people as you can. And I'm not doing everything right, but me and Nicole are giving our life and going through hell oftentimes, but we're going to do what God told us to do. We're going to fight the good fight of faith, and we're going to raise our kids not to be punks who don't want to go to church. I believe that deserves another amen or a something. I don't know why I'm such a crybaby today, but I'm just touched by the Lord. Speaking of hormonal, look at me. I'm so crying. Isaiah 45, verse 3. I will give you treasures in darkness, hidden riches in secret places, that you may know that I am the Lord who calls you by name. You're sitting in a treasure of darkness. I was praying one day at my house, and the Lord told me, he said, someday I want you to start a church in the St. Charles area. He later, long story short, led me to this building. Commerce Bank called me. They said, we have $21 million in this building. And I walked around it and thought, boy, it'd make a great church. We didn't have any money, but we had a dream. And I had a word from God. Where God guides, he provides. Maybe you have a vision today. Take that as a word from God. Where God guides, he provides. We walked around here. I asked, you know, how much the electric bill? They said north of $20,000 a month. I freaked out. I said, how much are the taxes? They said it's $550 every 24 hours. Oh, my goodness, that's just absolutely crazy. Well, you're on the highway, 167,000 people drive by a day. Wouldn't that be great? You're on a little backwards road in Fenton. That'd be great. But it didn't quite fit in here totally, but I began to speak over my future. I remember walking in the bathrooms and I thought, well, no wonder this place went broke. They don't even have any, like, you know, sink things. You can't turn the knobs on. And then they said, oh, no, you just put your hands in there. It's motion activated. I'm like, whoa, look at this. And then I'm like, well, the soap handles broke too. And they said, no, no, it's the same way. You just begin to move your hands. And I'm like, my gosh, sure, it's not. The stuff just flying out of there like crazy. And I'm doing this. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, it's just like your faith. You got to move by faith before you get the flow of my provision. We walked around this building and we looked around and I didn't think it was possible. But Proverbs 13:22, you might want to write this down. It says, the wealth of the sinner eventually finds its way in the hands of the righteous. The wealth of the sinner, one translation says, is laid up for the just. So we ended up buying the building for $6.5 million. That means basically that these heathens who made this church so beautiful. They put in the marble floors out there. They put in that desk and that credenza with that beautiful wall. That's over $350,000 just to do all that. And they put all that in there. And we could have never afforded anything like that. We had a little church in Fenton and we couldn't even afford a plasma TV. What we did is we cut a hole in the wall, honest to God, me and Nicole, and we shoved it through there and put some 2x4s on the backside. We were fronting, y'all, and it just looked like a flat screen. How y'all, you gotta fake it till you make it, right? And people are walking through, well, that's cool. We didn't have no money. We was broke as a joke, but we had a dream. And we walked in here, and would you believe it, that those guys lost it in dark times, in the Great Depression of 2008, when gas was $19.99 a gallon, when people were freaking out and the mortgage bubble went crazy, and these guys lost it. We would have never spent this kind of money. But I truly believe that God put it on those heathens' heart to say, put in the best faucets. Make my church incredible. Absolutely make everything motion activated. I want you to put a brand new $5 million roof on it. Oh, I want you to drivet the outside and insulate it and make everything wonderful. I believe that God allowed that to happen to the world so the church could benefit from a $15 million gift from someone and some organization that we have never met. See, you and I have to believe that in bad times and in troubled times that we're called to prosper. And when it goes down, the church is going up because we're blessed. Come on, somebody. We're favored. We're anointed. We're qualified. We're empowered. And we're good looking. Everybody shout, we're good looking. Psalm 66. I'm giving you a lot of scripture today. Verse 12. You have caused men to ride over their heads when you were prostrate. You went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us into a broad, moist, abundant refreshment of open air. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. See, God is saying, one time you were down in the flat, you're lying prostrate, you couldn't get up, but you went through the fire. You went through the flood. One translation said, now I'm bringing you into your wealthy place. I'm going to provide provision for your vision, but make sure that you don't forget about me. When you come into my house, God says, you bring an offering and you bring sacrifices of praise to me. And financially, you're saying, God, you're first. Remember we talked about with the code. If you don't get the code right, you can have all the numbers, but it never, ever lines up. Some of you are still struggling with that, and you might struggle with it the rest of your life. We can't fix that. But the people who decide, I decree and declare that God is opening this, and no matter what, I'm going to put God first. I've been through the fire. I've been broke. I've been through the divorce. I've been set back. I've been betrayed. But God is on my side. He's bringing me into this new provision, into a wide open space. And I'm going there first with my mouth and my mind, because where the mind goes, the man follows. Now, as we close, I want to say a couple things to you just as your pastor, as your friend. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. If you're the smartest person at the table, you're at the wrong table, okay? So right now, I'm speaking to your future. I'm talking just to you. And if I had time, we have 18,000 members, so I don't have time to do that, to sit down and look you in the eyes. I wish that I did. But I will tell you this and look at you all in the eyes and try to get you to pay attention right now. Please hear me when I say this. God right now, prophetically, he's speaking to me about the future. He spoke to me before the crash of 2008. The guy spoke to you a minute ago about that invented the voice recognition technology. That guy, he looked like a hero because I told him this is getting ready to happen in 2008. 2008's going to be great, but it's going to be a downturn. He got all his clients out, things changed, and he looked like an incredible wizard of a man, and God blessed him in extraordinary ways. But during that season, I really spoke to those people, and I said, whatever you do right now, please listen to me. Don't listen to the world system. listen to the word system and renew your mind and believe without a shadow of a doubt that this isn't going to happen to you because it does not pertain to you. When I was in Europe the other day, there was all kinds of things going on in Europe, and I could care less because I'm not from there. I'm from the United States of America. So while I'm here, though, in America, I was born on American soil, right here in St. Louis. I was born here, but I am not technically from here. I am from a kingdom where my father is the king, so what happens here doesn't really affect me. All my resources come from heaven. Somebody ought to shout amen. Subsequently, God meets my needs in the craziest way. Like, for instance, this campus. I mean, typically, this is one of the lowest giving campuses that we have. I mean, it's not a big campus. The Weldon Springs is our biggest giving campus. I mean, it's just crazy. But I want to change the way you think so I can change the way you live. But I never went into this campus or even think about it. I don't worry about it. God meets all of our needs. The craziest stuff happens. Like a casino, a guy that runs the casino, he got saved and started giving loads of money to the church. Another guy owns all kinds of crazy businesses, and he got saved and started coming to the church. And God's getting people that aren't even saved giving to the church. I can't believe it. People say, I can't believe you'd take that money. That's dirty money. Not when it comes to the house of God. We wash that money up with the word, and we use it. We evangelize the world. Somebody ought to shout amen. I don't care where you won the lottery. I don't care if you were a hooker. You bring that money to church and allow God to change your life. Come on, somebody. And God will do the supernatural in your life and take the test and make a testimony out of it. I don't care how God used a donkey. Remember that in the Bible? Balaam's donkey? The donkey talked. And it's fun to read it out of the King James because it's just his ass. It's like the ass talked. He got mad and it says he beat his ass. Read it. It's hilarious. You just read it in the King James. Just Google King James Balaam's donkey if you want to laugh today. You will laugh your donkey off reading that passage, okay? But if God can use Balaam's donkey, he can use you. He's looking for glory stories. So please hear me when I tell you this. Here's the qualifier. Ashton, if you do this, you get the puppy. If you do that, you don't get a puppy. Ashton, if you do this, your life turns out great. If you do that, your life turns out bad. I'm talking about my daughter every day. Ashton, that boy is cute, but he's after you, but that guy is a loser. Okay? Daddy has a front row seat to a lot of people. And that's great, but I'm telling you, if you're texting that boy, it ain't gonna go well with you. You're qualified, you're equipped, you're anointed. God has somebody special for you. Well, Daddy, who am I gonna date? You're 11. We don't date. Come on, somebody ought to help me. You might not understand this, but when you're 11, you don't date. Come on, somebody ought to stick. We gotta hang together on this. You don't date. When you're 16, you might date, but even then, you're dating with me. I'm like, what's up, Chuck? This is my daughter. We're going to the movies together. And you can judge me all you want, but I'm telling you what, I love her. I'm committed to her. And listen to me. Hear me yelling when I tell you this. I'm committed to you. Me and Nicole will be here forever. My bucket list is to be like my dad. He died preaching the gospel from one church. Now, we have multiple locations, so you don't always see me each week at each location. But trust me, every week, this little white boy is preaching somewhere. And I'm going to do my job to get the gospel to you to change your life. And Nicole has plenty of life experiences, one of the greatest preachers in America. Somebody ought to say amen. And together, we're going to do this thing. And we're going to set the world on fire. But I need you to pay attention, okay? I don't know everything, but there's a couple things I know. Listen to this. Putting God first, it's everything. He needs your attention. And he deserves your attention. You're preaching to the choir. I'm here. Maybe. Were you here last week? Were you here the week before? We're intermittent in everything that we do. Consistency is the key to the breakthrough. What you do, if you do the right thing long enough, you will see the right results. But you can't just do it for a day. And then you got to raise up people like Jalen. Jalen's going to be a world changer, and there's a whole lot of you guys that are world changers. I'm telling you, you have to introduce yourself to yourself a year from now if you stick with this and you do it right. And for God's sakes, even if you backslide and you do something crazy, act safe and bring your little cray-cray kid up in here because you're going to get right eventually. Come on, somebody. And you want that kid to be right with God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your anointing that's so prevalent in your house. God, I thank you that today was a day that was straightforward. It was a father talking to children.
God, that we will not participate in economic downturn or recession because we're redeemed from it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I speak to all of our family members today and all of our campuses, God, that they are anointed, they're qualified, and you're going to turn the situation around for their good. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com. We open up families, grow lives, and change.